Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our continuing coverage of the COVID-19 crisis. I'm Bill Price. Apex approaching.
We're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel.
That is our top story at noon. The pandemic that's gripped the nation and the world the past few months could be on the downslide in a matter of days. Before then, though, get ready for death.
It's going to be our Pearl Harbor moment. It's going to be our 9/11 moment.
U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams says the week ahead will be the most difficult week yet in the U.S. Dr. Jeanette Neshwat is medical director at CityMD in New York.
We're going to see more deaths. We're going to be reaching that peak. But what this tells us is that ultimately we're going to go downhill.
Dr. Neshwat says the more we adhere to social distancing guidelines over the next couple of weeks, the easier that trip downhill will be.
We have to continue aggressive measures like physical distancing. That's so important because we see, for example, in Italy and in China, in Taiwan and South Korea, that strong mitigation efforts work. What we did 2 to 3 weeks ago will impact what we're going to see this upcoming week.
President Trump says medical supplies, including ventilators, now being sent to COVID-19 hotspots across the country. Mr. Trump also says a drug used to treat malaria could also work in the fight against the coronavirus.
As we speak, there are people dying. If it works, then it'd be great. If it doesn't work, we gave it a shot. We gave it a shot because there are people dying right now.
The president says the federal government has stockpiled 29 million pills of hydroxychloroquine in case the drug proves to be effective in the fight against COVID-19. Meantime, researchers at UPMC in Pittsburgh say they're working on a blood test that could be helpful against the coronavirus. Reporter Chris Hoffman is in the Steel City.
UPMC test is based on one done in Europe to see if people were exposed and possibly immune to coronavirus. The report says medical tests can already determine antibodies the body makes in response to the virus, but it doesn't mean someone cannot become sick or pass it along. Further testing at Pitt Center for Vaccine Research will see if certain antibodies are the immune type that can neutralize the virus.
Chris Hoffman reporting from Pittsburgh, Washington State, now sending hundreds of ventilators to New York and other states hit hard by the pandemic. Governor Jay Inslee says the Evergreen State is returning 400 of the 500 ventilators it got from the federal government. Overseas now, after more than a week of being quarantined at home, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been hospitalized as he recovers from COVID-19.
Although I'm feeling better and I've done my 7 days of isolation, alas, I still have one of the symptoms, a minor symptom of I still have a temperature.
Johnson says he's in good spirits and he only admitted himself to the hospital on the advice of his doctor. Also yesterday, the Queen made a rare televised address.
I also want to thank those of you who are staying at home, thereby helping to protect the vulnerable and sparing many families the pain already felt by those who have lost loved ones.
For just the fourth time in her nearly 70-year reign, Queen Elizabeth took to the airwaves to share her support in the fight against COVID-19. Progress being made against the virus in Spain.
At last, some good news.
Con esta visita,
Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez announced the peak is almost over. And in Italy, too, the rates of infection and death have flattened.
That's Elizabeth Palmer reporting. The Navy captain fired as commander of the USS Theodore Roosevelt now infected with coronavirus. The New York Times reports that Brett Crozier's symptoms came before his removal. A letter from Crozier to his superiors was leaked to the media after more than 100 cases of the virus flared up aboard that ship. That letter led to Crozier's firing. Still to come this Monday, COVID-19 deaths dropping in New York. The governor there says the apex is near. The virus is spreading in Pennsylvania, and for the first time ever, an animal is now infected.
Good afternoon. The week starting on a sunny note for most, but some clouds are on the way for some. And later in the week, there'll be some chilly air moving in. I'll be back with forecast details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Monday, April 6th. Health officials in Western New York say 39 people have now tested positive for COVID-19 at a nursing home in Orchard Park. Erie County Executive Mark Polenkars says the outbreak took place at the Father Baker Manor.
So we are very concerned about a cluster and an outbreak at that nursing home, and our Department of Health is in contact with the New York State Department of Health. And once again, the New York State Department of Health is determining the standards for containment and care with Catholic health systems.
There are currently 130 residents at the facility, and local health officials say they've taken swift action to stop the spread of the infection. With over 123,000 cases, New York continues to be the epicenter of the coronavirus in the U.S. On Sunday, though, some good news.
The number of deaths over the past few days has been dropping for the first time.
Governor Cuomo says it's too soon to tell if this is a trend that will continue. Dr. Nicole Sapphire is a radiologist at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York City.
So what does that tell us? It tells us that potentially some of these treatments are working. I hope that this isn't a blip. You keep seeing all those charts. We're looking for this bell-shaped curve where it goes up, 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 plateaus off, and then comes down. We don't want it to go up, down, up, down, up, down.
Dr. Sapphire says everyone needs to practice mitigation efforts like social distancing to make sure the virus does not spike in other places across the country. New York Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul says contrary to popular opinion, Governor Cuomo is not stealing ventilators from upstate hospitals to give to hospitals downstate.
We're all New Yorkers, but there's no way we're going to abandon any one part of the state because we all need each other during this time.
Last Friday, Governor Cuomo announced he's signing an executive order that allows the movement of unused ventilators from one part of the state to another. Kathy Hochul compares the scenario to what happens in Western New York during a big snowstorm.
Where Buffalo gets smacked, we get shut down for days, even weeks. And boy, are we glad when those utility trucks show up from Long Island and Westchester in New York City. They come and help. And that's what we're talking about. Where there's a need, we'll be there to help. But there is no way that we'll leave Western New York unprotected.
The local says where there's a need, the ventilators will go, whether that's New York City or Buffalo. With nearly 12,000 cases of COVID-19, Pennsylvania now emerging as a new hotspot for the virus.
Taking the precautions that we've taken, we're hopeful that we've flattened that curve and we'll go forward and not have as bad of a thing as what some people maybe think we're going to have.
That's Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Fred Keller. He says with the Poconos not too far away from New York City, COVID-19 could explode across the Commonwealth if the state is not careful.
And really stopping the people coming into the Commonwealth. Because when you look at the Poconos, which is the Northeast region, that's a place where a lot of people come. And there's a lot of people, too, that even commute from the Poconos into New York City and other places to work.
Keller says rural hospitals across the Keystone State are now stocking up on supplies and manpower to get ready for a potential surge in new cases of COVID-19. Local nursing students across New York say they're ready to join the fight against COVID-19.
You want to get out there and care for people and give some relief to the nurses that are working now. They're all going to need vacations in a couple of months.
Tom Bonfiglio is a nursing student at the University of Rochester. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced over the weekend that he's allowing medical students in the state to graduate early so they can join the front line.
The system is over capacity all across the board. It's just over capacity. So what we're basically saying to a system is you have to manage with the same resources that you have, same staff, an overcapacity situation. And that is putting a tremendous amount of stress on the healthcare system.
Yesterday, the federal government sent 1,000 health professionals to New York to help with the coronavirus pandemic. Local hospitals are hemorrhaging money because of the pandemic.
It's a body blow to not just the hospitals, but to sort of the healthcare ecosystem.
That's industry analyst Jeff Kelly. He says it's not just hospitals feeling the pain here. Primary care practices, clinics, and other medical service providers are facing pay cuts, layoffs, and even closures.
Some small practices might just go under. and some mid-sized practices. So it's just catastrophic financially.
Kelly says hospitals have been forced to clear the slate on things like ER visits and elective surgeries, which bring in the most money, to get ready for the expected surge in COVID-19 patients. Keeping the buildings clean in the Keystone State, Family Life's Brandon Dixon has more on new protocols for maintaining essential businesses.
Pennsylvania's health secretary has issued new standards for cleaning large buildings that remain open during the shutdown. Dr. Rachel Levine's order, which applies to buildings that are at least 50,000 square feet, requires owners to maintain usual sanitation and follow CDC guidelines to routinely clean and disinfect areas that are often touched. The buildings include airports, grocery stores, and offices, among others. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Nearly 3 out of 4 New Yorkers in favor of how Governor Cuomo is handling the COVID-19 health crisis. That according to a new WIVB-TV Emerson College poll. A new Siena College poll out today also shows 95% of New Yorkers are practicing social distancing during this outbreak. High school seniors throughout New York and Pennsylvania trying to come to terms with the possibility that there will be no more school this year.
If we don't end up going back to school, graduation will be in jeopardy and we won't be able to have senior ball, which would be really sad.
Jenna Schultz is a senior at Liverpool High School in upstate New York. She says it's not just activities in the classroom that are in doubt.
Outdoor track was supposed to start last Monday, so I would be having practice every day after school. And my first meet was supposed to be in the middle of April, but don't think that's going to happen.
A lot of local seniors are now connecting on social media, sharing their stories and words of encouragement as the coronavirus takes aim at their big year. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf says this Easter Sunday will be a tough one for a lot of families across the Commonwealth.
As a person of faith, I understand how important it is to worship, and that congregating, whether for a service or Seder dinner, can be at the very core of our faith.
Also at the core of our faith is looking out for others. Tom Wolf says this Easter folks have got to stay away to save lives.
Also understand how important it is to help neighbors. And the best way to help our neighbors right now is by not congregating.
The governor says Easter will have to be celebrated online on Sunday in order to keep the Commonwealth safe. Local zoos now making some changes after a tiger at the Bronx Zoo in New York contracted COVID-19. It is the first known transmission of the virus from humans to animals. Local zoo officials now limiting interaction between certain workers and the animals. They're also urging anyone who's come in contact with an animal to wash their hands thoroughly. The COVID-19 health crisis impacting thousands of dairy farmers across our listening area. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
In many ways, the new virus outbreak is not changing the lives of Pennsylvania's dairy farmers as dramatically as it has for others. But COVID-19 has given them some new headaches. Consumer demand skyrocketed, then leveled out. Exports have dwindled. And some Pennsylvania farmers have even been asked by processors to dump their milk, an uncommon practice that only occurs when milk can't be picked up or processed. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. A convoy of hope rolled through Genesee County, New York on Sunday. Over 100 big rigs escorted by the police went through the town of Stafford on its way to Batavia as a sign of solidarity in this national health crisis.
Definitely makes us feel patriotic, you know, everyone's going through this and we're going to get through it all together.
Yes, we are. Quite a sight there. The event also served as a fundraiser for the Crossroads House. That's a comfort care home for those with a terminal illness. Let's head on over to the sports desk this Monday afternoon. It is sunny time. It's called your two-minute drill.
Thank you, brother. Let's start with some good news. Build's general manager Brandon Bean has started a fundraising campaign to support local charitable groups during the pandemic. He's donating $20,000 to the Communities United Way chapter. Build's fans can win prizes, including joining Bean on the phone when he submits Buffalo's first draft pick. NFL team executives like Bean are preparing to conduct the draft from their respective homes instead of team facilities. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell told teams not to go to team offices and to adhere to having a limited number of people in one room. The draft will go on as scheduled from April 23rd through the 25th. New York City getting more surgical masks courtesy of the New York Knicks, Brooklyn Nets, and the NBA. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced Saturday that they've all collaborated to distribute 1 million masks to essential workers. The Nets owner and his wife have also donated ventilators. Amen. Tom Dempsey, who kicked in the NFL despite being born without toes on his foot, set a record with a 63-yard field goal. He's died at the age of 73. Dempsey's 63-yard field goal in 1970 with the Saints set the NFL record, later matched three times before the Broncos' Matt Prater made one from 64 yards in 2013. The NFL has also lost a Hall of Famer. Former Browns and Redskin great Bobby Mitchell has died at the age of 84. He was a three-time All-NFL selection over an 11-year career. He spent 4 as a halfback with the Browns and 7 as a flanker with the Redskins as that franchise's first African-American player. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1983. And late Lakers star Kobe Bryant highlights the 2020 Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame class. Bryant announced as part of the star-studded class over the weekend, joined by Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and Tamika Catchings, among others. The enshrinement ceremony is scheduled for August 29th in Springfield, Massachusetts. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Great job as usual. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, apex approaching, the latest on the coronavirus pandemic, finding calm in the midst of this storm. Family Life's Bob Price goes one-on-one with a local expert and a quiet planet Earth. How this virus has led to an eerie silence all around the world.
If you're wondering what you can do during this current crisis to love God and to love your neighbor, a few questions might help. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Though the world's changed dramatically in the last few weeks, the call for Christians to be salt and light hasn't. And of course, all this seems overwhelming. I mean, what can I do? How can I help? I want to suggest 4 questions that each of us can and should answer so that we can, as the sons of Issachar did, understand the times and know what to do. Tia Moore, a longtime friend and advisor to Chuck Colson, called this our personal mission field. And once that's identified, then the following 4 questions can help us develop an action plan. First, what's good that we can celebrate and promote during this crisis? As my friend Ed Stetzer shared on our recent Colson Center webinar, there are plenty of things to celebrate, promote, and even emulate. Obviously, the charitable works we see around us are worth celebrating and supporting. Soup kitchens and homeless shelters and others doing the hard work of victim care. But there's also the birthdays and the anniversaries and the milestones. These things that are still a good part of our humanity together. There are still ways to celebrate these things with others. We could celebrate the good being done by doctors, nurses, first responders, and other medical professionals on the front lines of this epidemic as well. Here's the second question. What's missing that we can contribute? In times like these, it could be easier to ask what's not missing that we can't contribute. In New York City, where the medical system's under severe stress, Samaritan's Purse answered this question by setting up a field hospital in Central Park. Other Christian groups and churches are operating clinics and testing people for infections. One Breakpoint listener wrote in and told us she's sewing surgical masks. I've read of groups providing meals to frontline medical personnel or homebound folks. And MIT engineers posted blueprints for building cheap ventilators for free right online. And especially now, Christians have something that people desperately need and many are missing. Hope. Now of all times, we must be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks us about the hope we have. A culture whose worship songs are imagined by John Lennon and Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen is a culture that's missing a vertical reference point. We've got that too. Third question, what evil can we confront or stop? The obvious answer for healthcare workers is the coronavirus itself, though we all have a role to play in stopping or at least slowing the spread of the virus. Physical distancing and other precautionary measures is a way of putting the love of neighbor ahead of our own desires. On a more immediate level, we can stop cynicism and stop anger. We can stop from forwarding that unhelpful message or accusation on social media. Final question, what's broken that we can restore? Among the brokenness exposed in our culture by this virus is loneliness and social isolation. It's difficult to imagine a better and easier example of Christians running toward the plague than reaching out to those like this. Relational brokenness in our families and beyond is an epidemic that's far more reaching than COVID-19. And as this pandemic continues and beyond, we'll be seeing endless opportunities to help restore broken lives and broken livelihoods. Restoration is the core topic of our next Colson Center short course, which starts tomorrow night. How the church can respond to culture's brokenness. Come to breakpoint.org to see this excellent lineup of speakers and to register. Look, I know some of these ideas seem too simple to be effective, too easy. But the problem is that we so often dismiss the good we can do, the missing we can contribute, the evil we can fight, and the brokenness we can restore because of thinking about all the things we can't do. Let's not do that. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, let's head outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. All is quiet on the weather scene now. A weak disturbance, though, will spread some clouds into the region tonight and a few raindrops in northwest Pennsylvania. Later in the week, a front will arrive on Wednesday with a few showers, and a strong front will arrive later Thursday behind air. Comes some very nippy air that'll be with us Easter weekend and beyond. In the meantime, for this afternoon, sunshine and a few clouds. The high temperatures mild in the 50s to near 60. Tonight, some clouds around, low temps in the 30s and 40s. A couple of showers in northwest Pennsylvania. For tomorrow, a fair amount of cloudiness in northwest Pennsylvania with a morning shower. Sun and clouds elsewhere, 50s and low 60s. Wednesday is cloudy with some showers and high temperatures in the 50s and lower 60s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. If you're just joining us, here is the very latest on the COVID-19 health crisis for Monday, April 6th. The nation's top doc says this week will be the worst week yet for the U.S. in the fight against COVID-19.
It's going to be the hardest moment for many Americans in their entire lives. It's going to be our Pearl Harbor moment. It's going to be our 9/11 moment.
Surgeon General Jerome Adams is urging every single American to stay home as best they can for the next 2 weeks. This as the apex of the virus is expected to hit very soon. Dr. David Agus, a professor of medicine at USC.
It takes about 2.5 to 3 weeks from interventions to actually yield a flattening and then a decrease in the curve. So my hope and prayers are this is the last week till the interventions we all made start to kick in and we see a drop in the number of deaths and a flattening of that curve and then a major decline.
New York City reporting fewer deaths from the coronavirus over the weekend. In Louisiana, the deaths are rising. Correspondent David Begno.
Louisiana is expected to open a makeshift 1,000-bed hospital inside the convention center in New Orleans. The state has more than 13,000 cases. Today, Texas state troopers will stop drivers at the Louisiana border, asking them for documentation on where they're going. And if they're staying in the state, they'll need to self-quarantine for 2 weeks.
David Begno reporting in Milwaukee, COVID-19 infecting African Americans much more than the rest of the population. Health Commissioner Dr. Jeanette Kowalik.
Right now, it's still about 80%.
Kowalik says African Americans make up 26% of the population in Milwaukee. Right now, the CDC is not collecting information on the race of those infected with the virus. The State Department is telling Americans to come on home as soon as they can amid the coronavirus health crisis. But that hasn't been easy for a lot of travelers like Mark Weitzman. He's been stuck in India for 2 weeks.
I think everyone's kind of ready to go home because it's just the uncertainty of what's going to happen here.
Weitzman finally headed home now to Minnesota today. American Airlines drastically cutting service for New York City area airports because of the coronavirus. Correspondent Scott Pringle.
The airline says demand is rapidly evaporating. American cutting 90% of its flights in and out of JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark for about a month. This comes after United announced it's suspending nearly all flights in and out of Newark and LaGuardia. A little over a week ago, the CDC issued a travel advisory for the tri-state area because of the high number of coronavirus cases.
That's Scott Pringle reporting. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says he's in good spirits after being admitted to the hospital last night. In a tweet today, Johnson said he's still talking with those who work with him, and he thanked those who work in the country's National Health Service, saying they represent the best of Britain. 25 minutes past the hour, next at noon, coping with COVID-19. Family Life's Bob Price recently sat down with Jay LaScolia at Enrich Counseling in Corning, New York, on ways we can still be social while social distancing.
Let's pray it's sooner rather than later, Jay, this lifting of the social distancing order in New York State. One of the sidebars to this ongoing national emergency is the toll it's taking on people's mental health. If you would, Jay, talk a bit about that issue and how concerned you should be and how concerned our listeners should be.
I think it's important to, even in this era we're in or this season we're in of social distancing, to make sure that we are connecting. We know as Christians that we are to stay connected. Hebrews 10:25 reminds us to not stop meeting together. Well, now we have to be creative in how we do that. And I think it's important, whether picking up the phone and just calling a friend or loved one, checking in on them, or just having a conversation. You know, if you have kids, and I'm seeing this with my own kids, scheduling play dates where my son is building Legos and he's got his friend on video building Legos over at his house. Yeah. There are creative ways to stay connected. So I think it's imperative that we don't isolate, that we stay connected in every way.
One of the questions that is kind of circulating across the country, the president made news by suggesting that we can't allow the cure to be worse than the disease. My question to you, Jay, is it the virus itself and the infection rates continue to soar? We will see that for another 2 to 3 weeks, so it's going to get worse before it gets better. Is it the virus itself that's got people on pins and needles, or is it the fear of the unknown?
I think it's more the fear of the unknown. This is something else I would say. If you're struggling with fear or anxiety because of everything that you're either reading online or hearing in the 24/7 news cycle, give yourself a break from that. Because, again, if we're going back to, as Christians, the truth of God's word, and I think this is the time for the church to really share the promises of God, that we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to live in fear. God gave us a spirit of love, power, and sound mind, not of fear. I think this is an important time to remember those truths, to pray on those truths and share them, but also be honest and transparent and say, hey, I am struggling right now. And this is where, again, connection is so key. So I'm going to pick up the phone, or I'm going to go on video, and I'm going to say, hey, I need your help here, my friend, or I need your help, my loved one, whoever it may be. I'm struggling right now. I think it's important for the church to stay connected now more than ever. And I'm hearing stories of small groups that are still having their small group sessions via Zoom or through other, yeah, you know, technology. I also think a couple other things that I think are imperative is get out of the house. I mean, you don't have to go and rub shoulders with other people. I know that's not being advised, but go for a run. Go play in the backyard with your kids. Go for a walk with your family. Go for a hike. I know gyms are closed. Exercise is so important for our emotional, spiritual, and physical health. Eat healthy. I want to just say this. This is the big one that we even are even seeing in our family. Have routine. Don't let the routine go by the wayside where you're in your pajamas all day. And I know a lot of people are working from home, and maybe you're in your pajamas all day. Maybe you haven't showered in a few days. Maybe you haven't brushed your teeth or hair. keep that routine going of taking care of yourself, having the kids get out of their pajamas, because a lot of kids are doing school from home. So getting into that routine is so important.
Good stuff. Thank you, guys. Jay LaScolia at Enrich Counseling in Corning, New York, speaking with our own Bob Price on how to cope with COVID-19. Let's head on over to the Weather Center one more time. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. All is quiet on the weather scene now. A weak disturbance, though, will spread some clouds into the region tonight and a few raindrops in northwest Pennsylvania. Later in the week, a front will arrive on Wednesday with a few showers, and a strong front will arrive later Thursday. Behind it comes some very nippy air that will be with us Easter weekend and beyond. In the meantime, for this afternoon, sunshine and a few clouds. The high temperatures mild in the 50s to near 60. Tonight, some clouds around, low temps in the 30s and 40s. Couple of showers in northwest Pennsylvania. For tomorrow, a fair amount of cloudiness in northwest Pennsylvania with a morning shower. Sun and clouds elsewhere, 50s and low 60s. Wednesday is cloudy with some showers and high temperatures in the 50s and lower 60s.
All righty, Kevin Williams, finally at noontime. Well, with so many folks at home because of the pandemic, the Earth is quieting down. Check this out. Seismologists say there's far less ambient vibration since there are fewer cars and people rumbling around outside. The Royal Observatory in Belgium reports that the vibration has dropped as much as 30 to 50%, similar to what they'd expect to see on Christmas Day. And with less ambient noise, seismologists have been able to detect smaller seismic events that otherwise might have gone unnoticed. They wouldn't hear a thing in our household. Well, it's quieter outside, not so quiet these days in the Price home. That is the world we live in this Monday. As always, thanks for joining us. Be safe out there. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.